Last May, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, ICE, a branch of Homeland Security, staged the largest immigration raid ever. Agents swooped down on a kosher meatpacking plant in northeast Iowa and arrested several hundred illegal immigrants. Most of the workers were deported, but a handful are still here. They'll be testifying in the trial of the plant's owners. These remaining undocumented workers have been temporarily settled in Decorah, Iowa. They can't get jobs, and that's how they came to form their own theater troupe, Teatro Indocumentado, or the Theater of the Undocumented. Andrew Stelzer has the story.
Estando platicando con los muchachos cuando apenas salíamos de...
We were talking among ourselves after we had been let out of prison.
This is Oscar Mejia Santos, one of the workers who was detained after the raid.
We didn't have work, so we didn't know what to do in order to help our families who had already spent 6 months without receiving any money from us. So a small group of us guys, we got together and wanted to make something happen. But how? Maybe a play?
On Monday, I entered the plant at 9:45. As I went inside, I saw the helicopters overhead. I didn't know why they were there.
It seemed like any other day. We were working when suddenly the assembly line stopped, and at first we didn't understand why. We tried to find a way to escape, but there was no exit. Everything was surrounded.
Soon after I entered the plant, I could see immigration officers wearing hats and vests had all blocked the entrances, so no one could escape.
The idea was to act out the story of the raid and detention process and charge admission to raise money to help their families. But only one of the men had any experience in theater, a church production 15 years ago in his town in Guatemala. A pastor at Luther College connected Santos and his friends with some theater students and a local director to help make their experience a performance. Kate Blair, a recent graduate from the theater program at Luther College, became co-director. She was one of the few bilingual participants.
The first meeting that we had, we talked about their life, or they talked about their lives in Guatemala or Mexico before they immigrated to the U.S. And so each of the men took turns. There were usually between 2 and 4 people, sometimes even 5 people, recording every word that they said just by writing it down. And then we ended up with a huge binder full of notes, sometimes really messy, sometimes kind of fragmented, but we took that material to weave it into the play.
The interviews were translated into English, turned into a script, translated back into Spanish, and then given to the actors, who put it back into their own words. The finished product, titled La Historia de Nuestras Vidas, or The Story of Our Lives, is a composite life story of the 7 men. It begins in their villages in Mexico and Guatemala and documents the decision to leave for the United States, the journey across the border, harsh working conditions at the meatpacking plant in Postville, and then the climax. May 12th, the day of the raid.
Part 6, the day of the raid.
Nos hicieron quitar nuestros pantalones y camisas.
They made us remove our pants and shirts.
They took all of our clothes, everything we carried.
I was shivering from the cold.
Bernard Griset was one of a couple dozen people who watched a performance of La Historia de Nuestras Vidas at the Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Decorah, Iowa.
I was cringing when they got to the part where La Migra was putting the chains on them. I just thought, how can they keep going through that over and over again?
Onofre Macario Aguilar had been working in Postville just under a year when the raid took place.
It hurts me to remember because we lived that moment and we felt very sad. It's hard to remember those very difficult moments. They chained our ankles, our waists,
and our hands.
The story of our lives is unapologetically political. The actors all hope the audience is moved enough to become advocates for a change in immigration policy. And most people who've come to see La Historia de Nuestras Vidas are already sympathetic. Spanish professor Virginia Gibbs has seen the play twice.
The most powerful part was when they turn the lights out and everybody's hiding, and then the people who are playing the ICE agents are kind of searching through the audience with their flashlights to find the people hiding. You actually get really scared at that moment, and you really kind of live within the moment.
In the last two parts of the play, there's no acting. The men just sit facing the audience and read their lines off of the script. That's because when the show was first performed back in May, they were expecting deportation orders any day. They figured they didn't have time to rehearse all the way through. They wanted to get just one performance out there, even if they had to read from the script. Juventino López Pichia says they're surprised to still be doing the play at all.
We thought we might present the play one time. We never thought we'd put it on 12 times in different locations.
It's been performed in three different states, in churches or community centers. The show in Minneapolis raised about $2,000. The money is split eight ways between the seven actors and St. Bridget's Church in Postville, the main charity supporting victims of the 2008 raid. With the date of their pending deportations unknown, each performance by Teatro Indocumentado could be its last. In the meantime, Onofre Aguilar says he's glad they've been able to tell their story to so many people who might never have known otherwise.
A lot of people have told us they couldn't imagine the government would treat us like that. But it is true. Everything that we show you in the play is what we lived.
For Studio 360, I'm Andrew Stelzer.